This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's STIRLINGsoap.com.
Pressed by Torres, the set, the kick, and the pitch. It's deep to left field. This one may be off the wall, maybe in the screen.
Lang and Chernyshev on top as expected. They're eligible for Salt Lake City.
Indian All-Star.
All right, Bill Black here with the Indian All-Stars podcast, and it is my distinct honor and privilege to speak with Shana Paulus, champion cyclist. Is that what you're called, cyclists?
Yes.
Bicycle racer. I mean, I don't know what the terminology is in the, I don't know the lingo.
Cyclist. Yes, professional cyclist. You got it.
Professional cyclist. All right. World champion, I have to say. I was doing a little bit of reading, and you know, it was a little while ago, but world champion in cross country? Is that what it
I've competed at the world championships. Sadly, I don't have a world title.
Oh, I thought that was what the article said. Sorry, my bad.
Well, I've gotten a couple national champ titles.
National championship, not world champ. Sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Similar, I guess.
There's only one. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the national champion in 2013 for U23 cross country mountain biking. Yeah. And then, in 2010, for the Xterra triathlon, which is like a mountain bike triathlon, for my age group, which was 15 to 19 year olds.
So mountain bike triathlon, what does that mean? Like go swimming with a...
Yeah, swim, bike, run, and the bike is a mountain bike, and the swim is an open water swim, the bike is a off-road mountain bike.
Okay. Oh, so it's a regular triathlon, but instead of a road race, it's a mountain bike race.
Right, and then the run is off-road as well. It's like cross-country off-road.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've always had great respect for triathlon, Ironman people, and all that stuff. That's amazing to me. I attempted one triathlon back when I was in really good shape back in the day, and I finished, but it was nowhere near the front. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love triathlons. That's where it all began for me before I became just a cyclist. So it's very near and dear to my heart. It's where it all began.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to ask you. So, you know, I did a little bit of research about you before you came on because I didn't want to be totally ignorant because I already messed up one question. So when you were growing up, you played all kind of the regular sports and soccer, softball, and all that kind of stuff, right?
I did a lot. I did everything from like gymnastics when I was really, really young as a toddler, and like t-ball when I was a toddler, and then I did swim team and track and field running, cross country, both running and mountain biking, triathlon. I did volleyball in middle school as well as basketball. Did horseback riding for a couple of years as well. Only competed one time in that though. It was really fun. Like what I was focused on and what I ended up competing in was dressage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And English style, I guess you could say, versus Western. But yeah, I was also really into jumping, but unfortunately never got to compete in that. My career as a horseback rider was very short-lived because I just fell in love with mountain biking and cycling. And I guess another sport I forgot to mention was soccer. I was really into soccer too from a super young age up until the age of 12 or 13. And both my brother and I, my brother's also a pro cyclist, Nielsen Paulus. We both did pretty much all the same sports growing up. Ever since I can remember, like, we were always doing the same sports together. He's a couple years younger than me, but we were always competing in our respective age categories. So it was fun. We were always training together and, you know, training as a family. Both my parents were athletes, and so they were a heavy inspiration on us and definitely kept us motivated throughout our childhood years. And yeah, without my parents, like, motivation and inspiration, I don't think my brother and I would be, you know, the athletes that we are today. So we got to give props to the parents for sure. My dad was an Ironman triathlete. My mom was a runner and triathlete. So yeah, we have some good parents to look up to, but that's kind of like the diverse background in sports that me and, well, I guess my whole family have.
Sure. That's amazing. So you guys had real live breathing role models right in front of you to help you develop your interest in your athletic ability and a passion for that. That's always a question I like to ask, is who motivated you to do this? So your parents exposed you to all of that different stuff. Mm-hmm. How did it come about that both you and your brother gravitated to cycling?
Yeah, so I think I was in high school when I really took off in my cycling career, just mostly through doing the Northern California High School Mountain Bike League. All 4 years in high school, with my triathlete background, that was something I continued to do through high school because it was something I loved. But cycling was always the part of triathlon that I enjoyed the most.
Mm-hmm.
Having that triathlon background, like, it kind of helped me, like, kind of figure out what sport I liked out of the three the most. And then cycling was, that happened to be the one that I enjoyed the most and kind of found that I excelled the most at, especially by doing those mountain bike races throughout my high school career. You know, I competed in varsity as a freshman, which I believe I was the only one at that time and up until that time that had competed as a varsity cyclist as a freshman, and then all through senior year. There might have been some since then who have also done the same, but yeah, it was definitely an honor to be able to compete at the varsity level all four years.
So that's something that your high school offered as a regular sport. I mean,
yeah, like it's
a team or like track as a cycling team.
It's not as common of a sport, especially in high school. I mean, it's definitely grown a lot over the years, especially since I started back in 2008. Back then, it was definitely much smaller than it is now. But I would say, like, since then, it's probably been the fastest growing high school sport in America.
Wow, that's really cool.
But even in college, like at the collegiate level, like it's a college sport, but it's not an NCAA sport. It's just considered a club sport or intramural sport.
Okay.
But who knows, it may get to that level one day where it might end up becoming an NCAA sport. Just if it keeps growing the way that it's growing. Yeah, it's awesome to see how popular it's gotten.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, at my high school I went to, we didn't have a mountain bike team per se. We had a neighboring high school that did have a team that I would train with and do camps with. And I would also just train a lot on my own. So I was considered an independent rider through high school. And so I just wore my bike sponsor kit at the time, which was called Ventana Bikes, and then rode a Ventana mountain bike, which that was actually my first ever bike sponsor was Ventana Bikes,
cool.
A local company back in the Sacramento, California area near where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I just kind of did my own thing at the races. But yeah, I had a blast. And I do think that Roseville High School has a team now. I know it did. I think they started one a couple years after I graduated that my brother actually partook in for a year or so. But yeah, hopefully they still have one today. I'm not actually sure if they have one, but it's cool to see the sport grow a lot in the last several years.
Yeah, for sure. So I love finding out about Native athletes that are doing great things in, I don't want to say non-traditional sports, but not like the big three, right? Not baseball, softball, basketball, football, whatever. You know, more, you know, I talked with Ross Anderson about a month ago, who's a speed skier, you know, Indian guy going 150 miles an hour on skis. That kind of stuff is really cool to me. Because when I was a kid here on the Caldwell Reservation back in the day, never occurred to me that stuff like that happened to people from around here, right? I mean, you know what I mean? I think that finding out about all these different interests and all these different activities that people are able to excel at is really, really cool. So.
Yeah, it is really cool. And I personally love to hear people's like other athletes' backstories and like
mm-hmm.
where they came from and like how they got into the sport, and not just other cyclists, but like any other athlete out there, no matter what the sport, especially if they're fellow Native athletes. I think yeah. It's really cool to find out their stories.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. So
yeah.
So now let's talk about, so you talked a bit about high school and about college, and it's not really it's a club intramural, or you know, it's like rugby is right now, right? It's a club sport. A lot of people come out and watch it, but it's not a sanctioned event, right?
Right, not yet at least.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Keep our fingers crossed. So I don't know a whole lot about the pro cycling world. I mean, I know the Tour de France, I know some names of some cyclists, but can you tell me in a nutshell, how does that whole thing work? I don't know.
You mean just like as a whole, like
no, well, how about this, let me reframe that question. So you rode through college, and then you had a sponsor early on even. What happens after college? How do you continue doing that, and how do you pay for it? Because you guys go all over the place.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how globetrotting professional cyclists are. That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely a blessing. Like I definitely don't take what I do and the opportunities that I've gotten through the sports for granted. It's definitely allowed me to, you know, go to the most amazing places and meet the coolest people. So it's something that I'm very grateful to have in my life and to be able to do it, you know, for a living. Like, you know, it's definitely a blessing for sure. But yeah, so I guess going back to where like it all kind of like took off for me in high school, and then with me continuing it through college, you know, having a lot of that success in the varsity category throughout high school, I think definitely helped me get my name out there and, you know, just added fuel to my fire, in terms of, you know, wanting to continue on with the sport and take it all the way to the professional level. I'd say that that's definitely where, I figured out what my potential could be in the sport. And I figured at that point it was probably feasible for me to take it all the way to the professional level. Yeah, so I continued on with it, you know, through college. Also, by doing well in those high school races, it helped get my name out there with USA Cycling and got invited to do some camps with USA Cycling, over in Europe, do some racing over in Europe, as a junior, which was really awesome. And
Wow.
that was my first experience ever racing in Europe, at least for off-road, was through those USA Cycling camps. And then, you know, had some success over there early on as a junior. Got to compete at the World Championships as a junior for the first time in 2012, the year I graduated high school. And then just continued on with it through college all 4 years. I also joined the UCLA cycling team, and did some road racing with them, did a couple mountain bike races with them freshman year. Although I will say I think most of my focus on racing at that time was through my team that I was on outside of the collegiate team. So I
Okay.
was on the BMC Project Dirt development team, for a couple years. And then I guess before that it was called the BMC Devo team, and then it turned into the BMC Devo Project Dirt team. So I was with them for a couple years. And then after that I got a contract with Live Giant Cofactory off-road team. And yeah, just did a lot of US Cup races, Pro XCT races, some local races, you know, definitely a lot of racing throughout college, you know,
Wow,
combined
sounds
with
like.
the collegiate racing.
Well,
So it kept me busy aside from, you know, the usual school stuff. Definitely had a lot on my plate, but wouldn't have had it any other way. You know, had a blast. I love being a student, I love being an athlete. Found a way somehow to sort of balance everything, because I know it's definitely not easy, but time management was key all 4 years, and I think I did an okay job with it. But yeah, and then, you know, doing well in some collegiate racing, and then the racing that I did with BMC and Live Giant throughout those 4 years helped get my name out there even more. And then ended up getting an offer from professional road team in 2016, and then officially switched from mountain biking to road racing in 2017. With the occasional mountain bike race here and there, but my focus kind of switched from more off-road to road focused in 2017. And I would say a big inspiration for that was my brother, who also made that switch from off-road to road a couple years before I did, and seeing him have success on the road and going over to Europe and crushing it, as well as crushing it in the domestic racing, really kind of motivated me to make that same transition. And so yeah, made that transition and kind of have just been focused on road ever since. To this day, I would say I've kind of mixed it up here and there since then with like gravel racing and esports racing on Zwift, and then track racing as well, which is something that's kind of taken off for me since last year. And yeah, definitely a lot of track in the last couple of years mixed in with the road. So that's kind of what I'm focused on right now is track and road.
It would seem to me that the technical side of things would be very, very different from cross country to on the other end of it, or mountain bike race to the track, right? That's like the ultimate ends of the spectrum. I'm guessing, I'm just thinking. Not only the terrain, but the strategy and the equipment. I mean, I'm sure all the bikes are all different, but that entirely different skill sets, it would seem to me.
They are very different, I would say. Yeah, because on the track, you don't have gears. I mean, you have gears, but you can't shift while you're on the bike on the track. You can't brake. It's just one gear, like single speed, no brakes. So it's definitely a rush. It's so much fun. And oftentimes you're riding on tracks that are like 250 meters long in length. And the bankings on the ends are usually like 40, 45 degrees. So they're pretty steep. So it's almost like you're riding on a literal wall on each side, each end of the track, which is super fun. And, you know, it allows you to carry so much speed and momentum as you go around the track, which is part of why I love it, because you just get to go fast the whole time. I feel like you're never really not going fast on the track, especially in racing. Yeah. But, yeah, so the Team Pursuit is the event that I've been focused on since last year. And it's basically just a 4 kilometer or 16 laps on a 250 meter track. It's like a team time trial with riders. And you each take a turn at the front doing your pull. And you switch off, you do exchanges, and then the next person will pull through. But yeah, it's something that I really enjoy. I feel like I really like that team aspect of it. I love the team racing aspect, and it's different from the road because, one, you're mostly indoors versus outdoors. It's very rare that you're on an outdoor track, but also just getting to race in a team pursuit, team time trial format is really cool, where, you know, you don't have brakes, you don't have to worry about shifting, and you're only like this far apart from the person's wheel in front of you.
Man.
Closer. I've had a couple of close calls where I've actually hit the person's wheel in front of me, but kept it upright somehow.
Okay.
But yeah, on the road, I love the road as well because, I mean, it's very different. The races are oftentimes much, much longer than the races you do on the track, anywhere from an hour to, you know, 4+ hours. But I think it's definitely more endurance focused than I would say the track is. The track is more high intensity, you know, all out type of efforts. Although you still need some sort of endurance. It's just much shorter types of endurance events. But yeah, the road is fun. Stage racing is fun. It's something that I love to do. Criterium racing, one day road races, you know, there's so many different events out there, and they're all very different. So I love it all.
It's amazing to find out more about this. I didn't know about all the different styles. I knew about the big, long, you know, 3-4 day event kind of things, but there are single day ones, there are short. That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's very diverse. Lots of events.
Yeah. So are there people that specialize in just like one of those themes, and they may just do track racing or just mountain bike, or do a lot of riders do a whole bunch of different stuff?
Yeah, it varies. I mean, yeah, there's some riders, some people on our track team, for instance, mostly just focus on track. And then there's other riders who are a lot like me who are doing both road and track.
Mm-hmm.
I've done some training track camps in the past where we had mountain bikers who came out and tried out the track, and were using track as, you know, a training tool to help them for their mountain bike season. So I think it's definitely doable to do multiple disciplines. Definitely not easy because they're all very different, you know, mountain biking versus track versus road. But yeah, if it's something that you really want to do, and you're able to balance, it's definitely doable. And thankfully, I've been able to find some sort of a balance between track and road in the last couple of years, which I'm thankful for because I really do love both. So hopefully, I can continue to find that right balance between the two.
Okay, good. That's interesting. Good luck. I hope we can do that because it sounds like it's a pretty, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's a kind of a negative term, a grueling activity.
Mm-hmm.
Long, it's like marathon running or that kind of thing. It's not a short sprint, boom, done. It's everything is endurance and heavy mental, what can I push through kind of thing. And that,
yeah,
power to you. That's awesome.
Yep. I think a lot of it is 80% mentality, 20% physical.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of other people I know tend to say as well. So much of it is just your mental fortitude and what you can do on the mental side of things. Because most of the time, like, if you're mentally in the right place, then you can make your body do almost anything.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I have a couple more questions for you. And hard to believe we're already getting up to the half hour. But what's a funny thing that has happened in your... You got a funny story about something that happened during a bike race or during a training session, or maybe not even that, just something that's related to your cycling career that might be a funny story. Just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. I did a mountain bike stage race in 2019 called the Cape Epic. It's an 8-day stage race in the Cape Town area of South Africa.
Oh, wow.
That's a race that you do with a partner. And my partner is a really good, he was a really good family friend of our family who I'd known ever since I was little. And we raced Xterra Triathlon together for many years, like did a lot of mountain bike racing through the local mountain bike racing scene together. So he was my partner, and it was awesome being his partner, but I will say he tended to express his feelings and talk a lot throughout the race. Like, it was almost like there was never really much of a filter, but never in like a bad way or anything like that. He was always pretty upbeat. And he always had like the best intentions, and he has a good heart and everything. But there were a couple times where so like you have to stay with your partner the whole time. And all the teams start together. It's like a big mass start.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there were quite a few other teams who were battling it out with in the mixed co-ed category. And I remember one or two of the other teams who were also in the mixed category, we weren't super far into the race on one of the stages. And David was just, he was feeling really good and like really excited. And yeah, I think it was just, he was talking so much and trying to like talk to some of the people on the other teams and trying to motivate them. And it got to a point where they were like, dude, just shut up and just ride your bike.
That's awesome.
I think he was almost like too upbeat, too talkative for some of the other people out there. They were kind of in suffer mode. And I mean, he was suffering as well because it's a race, you're going hard, but he was just so excited and happy to be there that he was just, sometimes he didn't know when to stop talking and annoyed the other people out there. But I always enjoyed it. I loved hearing him talk and what he had to say. And yeah, I had no problems, but some of the other people were like, is this guy for real? Really pushing himself right now.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so one more, well, actually I have two more questions for you. This one, do you have a motto or a creed or a statement that you say to yourself every day to motivate you, or when you're on a bike race climbing that extra long 20-mile hill saying, okay, keep going, something that you fall back on? That's okay. I just, if you do, I'd like to hear what it might be.
I'd say pain is temporary.
Okay.
Like, that's something that I always keep in mind. Like, no matter how badly I'm hurting in a race or even in a training session, I just remind myself that the pain is temporary, and you know, it doesn't last forever, but man, does it feel good once you cross that finish line or finish your effort in a workout, and knowing that you gave it 100%. There's no better feeling.
Yeah. Yep. Leaving it all out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just pain is temporary and just give it your all.
Yeah. That's powerful words. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you have a foundation. Is it Dreamcatcher Foundation? That's the name. Tell us a little bit. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you guys do with that?
Yeah, so the Dreamcatcher Foundation is something my fiance and I started back in 2018. And my fiance is he's Ojibwe, so he's native as well, and he's a professional football player currently with the Buffalo Bills, which is where we're at.
To him too.
yeah, I can definitely put you in contact. I can give you his email. Yeah, I'm sure he'd love to talk at some point as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that both he and I started in 2018 with the help of some of his agents and also this organization called Athletes and Causes that mm-hmm. partners with professional athletes to start their own foundations.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they were very instrumental in helping us start that. And Athletes and Causes also does a lot of help behind the scenes work for us with the foundation, and helps us manage our social media, which is really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, basically the Dreamcatcher Foundation aims to empower Native youth through sports, such as football and cycling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also aim to shed light on the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls mm-hmm. and relatives crisis in North America, which is something that not a lot of people know about, but I feel like everyone should. And it's also something, and I'm kind of embarrassed to say it, but it's something that I didn't even know existed up until a few years ago. I had no idea how bad it was until I started reading about the statistics and, you know, just reading more about it. And same with Ely, like it's also something that he didn't know much about up until a few years ago. So that's something that we really try to shed light on through our foundation, you know, through social media, through various fundraisers that we've hosted over the years, which funds that we raised through those fundraisers went towards organizations actively combating the MMIWG crisis,
mm-hmm.
Alongside, also part of the funds we raised went towards getting bikes out to Native youth.
Oh, nice.
Which we were able to actually get about 100 bikes and helmets out to the Seneca Nation youth up here near Buffalo, which was really awesome. And we were able to host a bike rodeo event where we did a big bike distribution here in Buffalo last spring. Oh. And we hope to be able to do something like that again within the next couple of years. But yeah, currently we're hoping to host another fundraiser this year through something that we also did last year, which was an art auction where we got a bunch of different Native artists to make a piece of art to add to the auction, with part of the proceeds from their art that they sold going towards, like I mentioned before, organizations combating MMIWG. And then also going towards future bike events that we're going to host in the future. So, yeah.
That sounds great. That really, really does. And boy, I wish I could have been there to see the bike distribution and bike rodeo thing. That events like that really make my heart happy. I think that's good stuff. So.
Same here. Yeah, which is why I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah.
I'll let you know next time we do it.
excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
That's trying to think if there's anything else that I forgot to ask you, but I don't think so. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to talk about?
I feel like we covered a lot.
Yeah.
You had a lot of good questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I guess this could wrap it up for this go around. And oh, wait, one more thing. The race a couple weeks ago, was it the Tour of the Gila or something like that?
Yeah.
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, this big battle. I'm just happy we were able to keep the green jersey on the last day, or I guess take it back, because I got it on the second day and then lost it the next day, or I got it on the third day, lost it on the fourth day, and then I got it back the fifth and final day. So it was a bit of back and forth as to who was in the green jersey, but I'm glad that I was able to pull off a good day on the last day and take the green back. So it was a team effort all around. I got to give props to my DNA teammates for really, helping me position for those intermediate sprints to get those points. And then also taking some of those points, because top three in those intermediate sprints got points, and some of them got points as well, to make sure that my big contender didn't get any points. So it was a team effort. That's really fun. And overall, a good week of racing.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations again. And thank you for the time. I really, really appreciate talking with you. And hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
my honor.
Cool.
Thanks, Shannon. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you gotta do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.